Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Helen McIntyre. And I hope you're having a lovely day. I'm a little concerned there might be a noise any moment. We've got the gardener here. He keeps running the hose and it makes a terrible noise in this room. So apologies if we get any interference in advance. And I wanted to start today by just saying thank you to, oh, there we go, as predicted, to some of the people that took the time to message me following my last podcast. It really meant so much to me. So thank you, Amy, Eddie, Karen, and Victoria, who messaged just to say to keep it as it is, straight to the stuff, no filly-fallying around. I really appreciate all your lovely, kind words. In fact, I had gone to the pub yesterday and had a couple of pints of lager, so I was getting totes emosh about all your lovely messages when I got home and read them. So thank you. And just because there has to always be balance in the universe, I got all those lovely messages from people that really made me feel so happy and so loved. And then today I've been getting trolled. I don't know if you'd call it trolled. I just really don't understand why we cannot all believe different things. I just don't understand it. I'm out there promoting spirituality and mediumship, but I'm not knocking on your front door. Have you heard the word from our Lord and Saviour, spirituality? I'm just doing my thing. And it just amazes me how many people get so angry and so aggressive about mediumship. And today I've had questioning pseudoscience or something popping up on my Facebook page. And it's fine if you don't believe. That's absolutely fine. I didn't believe once in a while. But please be open to a discussion about it, not snarky. I don't get it. People are so weird. And we know we see this on things all the time. And of course, the irony being the way that algorithms work, if you react, respond, or comment on something you don't like on social media, the social media algorithm doesn't register that as a dislike and will show you more of it. So again, it's a complete lesson, isn't it, in where your focus goes, energy flows. Whether it's something you want or you don't want, if that's what you're thinking about, interacting with, doing, you're going to get more of it. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? So before I move on to the dark night of the soul stuff, which, let's see, we might get a chance to actually discuss today, or I might go off down a rabbit hole, which sometimes, as you know, dear listener, I do. I wanted to talk about a message that I've received, and I'm trying to just look for it. This is so professional, isn't it? Interesting. Let me just look on my folder here. I know what I'm doing, guys. It's all good. So I have got a message from Eddie, and I'm trying to find it so that I can talk to him. But it's not coming up. So maybe I shouldn't be talking about that today. Eddie, I'm terribly sorry. I will look for your message and, yeah, try and find it and talk to you about it another time. I don't know why I can't find it. I know where I saw it. Okay, so let's talk about Dark Night of the Soul. So as I started saying the other day, Dark Night of the Soul is the term that is used to explain when you hit rock bottom. And although it doesn't feel like it at the time, that rock bottom, that existential crisis that you have where you get to that point where you are thinking, what is the point? And why are we here? And why is it so hard? And why is it so difficult? Is the springboard then for some sort of change in your life. Whether you are spiritually minded or not, there are plenty of people who don't believe in the woo-woo stuff that I believe in, who have had dark night of the soul situations that have springboarded them, like I said, into another place. And why do we have those things from a spiritual, spirit world, mediumistic perspective? Well, when I look back at some of the ones that I've had in my life, and I've had a few, I don't think you just have one dark night of the soul, sadly. Sorry. I think you have several. And when I look at those situations, for me, they are very much a catalyst for learning about myself or understanding that something has to change. And it's funny because in that space where it's so terrible and so hard and so difficult that you feel like you can't go on, when you do carry on and start going, there's kind of a freedom there because it can't be any worse. And so therefore, weirdly, you're in a real state of surrender because you're not expecting anything better and you're just learning to pick up those pieces. And I think in that space of surrender from that experience is where the growth comes. So we know, don't we, in an ideal world that if we were asking for something from the spirit world, we'd ask for it. We would then let go of all expectation, all timeline, all getting in the way of it, and we would just allow it to become. But we're human, and that's difficult, and it feels like it's taking forever already, and I asked for this, so why isn't it coming? And I shared a meme that I saw God a while ago now, but it was Sleeping Beauty, and it said, "Thanks for the sign, spirit world. Now I'd like a signier sign." And it is, that's what we're like, isn't it? Whatever we get, we ask for more, we don't believe in. I mean, it must be so hard for spirit to work with us because we're going, if you do this, then I'll know you'll hear. And then they do it. And then we go, yeah, but that could have been a coincidence. Thanks for that. Give me something else. And so it continues. So I think in these moments where we feel crushed and we feel broken and we feel completely lost and completely disillusioned, in those moments, you surrender completely. Because hope is not a surrender, it's an expectation. I mean, I like to have hope, don't get me wrong. But I mean, rather than hope for something specific, I mean, just general hope is good. I feel like things will get better rather than I hope my boyfriend will come back. So in that situation, you're not surrendering. So you make it harder to receive what you want. And that is why I think sometimes we have to really go through, we choose to go through real rubbish so that we can bounce back and come out the other side. And oh, it's interesting. It is fascinating, really, when you think about it. Now, do we think that the spirit world takes us to that point, or do we take ourselves to that point? If you look at moments in your life, so let's use one of the examples that happened to me right at the beginning, before I was working with spirit. So my husband and I had bought our house, watched too much location, 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 bought a massive house, Georgian house, with no experience. We'd only lived in a new build and we're not very DIY orientated. And we'd moved into this house with a baby and had to start our lives again. And we'd changed location, moved to a different part of England with a baby and all this stuff going on. We were only young. It was a ridiculous decision. Do I think the spirit world made that decision? No, it was us. It was absolutely wholeheartedly us. Anyway, in that space, really difficult, financially difficult, because running a house that's big and old and maintenance costs and the things that the previous owners forgot to mention were wrong with it, stuff like that. It was very, very difficult. And I was working for a friend, in inverted commas, of mine. And this friend had a lot of issues of her own, a lot of things going on with herself. And a lot of self-esteem issues, I would say. And she offered me a job as a friend, which was a lovely thing to do. But then she used her position as my boss to, empower. It's not true empowerment though, isn't it? To make herself feel good by making me feel bad. And she used to do things like come into the office and open her mail and chuck everything she didn't want onto the floor, eat a banana, chuck her banana on top of the rubbish pile and go clear that up. Stuff like that, that it's just not kind and not the sort of way that you would treat anybody. And we were all friends in this group of friends of mums, because when you have a baby, you tell yourself you have to go to these play groups with people. And it was really, really toxic. Toxic people, toxic energies. I mean, they're lovely people, but we were all going through this. I've given birth to a human, existential crisis anyway. And then on top of that was all of the dynamics and all of the... And really it comes down to people feeling really insecure in themselves and looking for validation. And unfortunately, humans, as we all know from every reality show we've ever watched, humans get into a pack and they survival of the fittest and sometimes survival of the meanest. And so I was working for her and felt very unable to put any boundaries in, any barriers in, because she was my boss. Then something really sad happened to her, which is her personal story I will not share. And in that happening, her way of coping, she used to come into the office and sort of bitch about the other people in our group. And she was one of those people where if you said nothing, she took it as an agreement. You know those people? And that's all well and good until the time she decided to validate herself by telling everybody else in the group something that she had said, that she said that I had said. I know, it's so childish, isn't it? And that then caused me to lose all of my friends bar one overnight. So I was in this situation where I was financially, I had to stay working for her and trapped, but she had completely thrown me under the bus for no reason. And I lost all my friends, and they weren't real friends. I can say this in retrospect, because none of them, apart from one, there's one who stayed in contact with me, but none of them thought to ask me if I'd really said what she said I'd said, or hang on, that doesn't really sound like Hannah, or anything like that. They all just turned on me and I lost my entire friendship circle in a space where I hadn't lived for very long and I didn't know that many people, and it was very, very hard for me. And then to make it worse, just to make it extra super fun, she lived on the site where we worked, and I would be in the office on my own, and she would make sure that she invited all of that friendship group over to her house for a play date while I was working, so that, and I could see the car park from my desk, so I would see them all arriving, all these people that used to be my friends, and going into her house to play, knowing that I was no longer part of that group. I was isolated from it. Now, I caused some of that. She was mean, yes she was, but I could have found another job. I could have stopped working for her. I could have put some boundaries in with her earlier on in our friendship. I remember a lady turning up at toddler group for the first time and her saying, "Oh God, look at that. I used to have that dress. That's like 6 years old in the next sale. Embarrassing." And I can remember sitting there thinking, "Oh my God, my top's 10 years old that I'm wearing." And not just saying that, closing in on myself rather than saying it. Closing in on myself rather than going over to that lady and say, "Welcome to the toddler group. We're pleased to have you. What's your baby's name?" Just allowing her that boss energy of, you know, empowering her bad behavior. And I'd done that before I worked for her. So that's my choices there. But ending up in that space where I felt so lonely and rejected and misunderstood and freaking angry, so angry and having to swallow it down to be professional and be at work, and just a real lack of kindness and compassion there. But that's okay, because in that experience, even though it was crushing me at the time, even though I was absolutely brokenhearted, it taught me so much about true friendship. And I'd like to tell you that was my lesson in boundaries, but actually I had more lessons that came from that. But I learned a lot about what I didn't want and where I didn't want to be in my life, and the kind of people that I wanted around me. And unfortunately, I had to repeat this lesson. I had to have a few more dark nights of the souls. I recovered from that one, and then I had some more. But it's that kind of thing, I think. It's, again, like our last podcast, it's about understanding the spiritual lessons in the mundane, in the everyday, in the experiences that don't feel spiritual. That's what makes you a spiritually developed person. It's not when you take yourself off on a spiritual retreat and have a vision. It's in the hardships of humanity is where you learn about your spirit and learn about yourself and the essence of who you are and that strength within you. And so that's what I think a dark night of the soul is all about. And for all of you listening, there will be different experiences. Some of you will be in them right now. And if you are, don't give up. Just keep on keeping on. Take it a day at a time, a minute at a time, a moment at a time. And one day, when you're ready, you will look back and understand what it was all about. You will look back and understand what it was for. But sometimes it takes years. And just to finish that story with that particular person, it was a good few years later. I'm going to say 5, but I could be making that number up. And I was driving along the road, and I got a text message, and I was in traffic at a traffic light. So I looked at the text message, and it was a message from her saying, "I'm so sorry about the way I treated you. I was in a bad place." Now, honestly, I had the weirdest experience. If you'd see me driving my car, because I was pretty much as over it as I could be at that point. It didn't hurt to talk about it anymore. In fact, I didn't talk about it anymore. I didn't think about it anymore, because that's generally when you know you're healed from something, it's not part of your current. I'm only talking about it now to give you an example of a time where it felt really, really low to me. And that's one of many. And I had this hysterical, like, laugh crying thing. I was driving around through Deal in Kent, just going, "Whoa!" like a lunatic, because it was such a release for me. And when I'd calmed down from that and sort of processed that, which probably took me a few weeks, it did occur to me, whether it was me or spirit that said it, it's okay to be sorry, but have you actually made amends? Have you told all those people, because I know you're still friends with them, have you told them all that you lied? Because if you haven't, you're not actually sorry, are you? You just regret it. So that is an example. I had to be careful. I didn't want to give examples that gave away too much personal information about other people's stories, because that's not what this podcast is about. But that's a really good one. And there's been many since then. And there's many experiences that I've had, as I've mentioned before, where I have been the catalyst for somebody else's dark night of the soul. Not intentionally, but just because that's how it works. And you have to trust those experiences. And that's something I want to just mention here. Spirit is saying to me, I need to say, if you know somebody who's going through something terrible, some sort of terrible crisis or something like that, it's not your job to try and take it away. Your job is to believe in them that they can get through it, and tell them you believe in them that they can get through it, and create a space for them where they feel safe to try. So many of us want to fix it for others, But if we start viewing these experiences, these moments where you just think, what, why am I here? Why is it so hard? Why is it so painful? I just want to curl up in a ball and disappear. If we accept those moments as when we're in them, we're in it, and this too shall pass, and we know this. If we start allowing other people to have those experiences and are open and honest about them, then we can all come at them from a much healthier space. I honestly believe, absolutely honestly, that if we all understand that energy is moving and transient and is here and then gone, it's such an empowering thing to think about. So when you're having a bad day, it's not that your spiritual journey means you don't have bad days and you're happy clappy all the time. And those mediums that promote that really get on my nerves, because we have to be real. We're here to be human. We're not here to be spirit. It's not about never being annoyed with somebody. It's not about somebody cutting you up and then you go, blessed be, love and light. You're allowed to be a human being. But if we allow ourselves to have those experiences and have those emotional reactions and know that they will pass, that is different to feeling like you're going to feel like it forever. And I think that's something that my dark nights of the souls, plural, many, have taught me, is that you can get through things. And you think in the moment that you're so crushed, you're never going to be the same again. And to some extent, you're not. You are different from this. You are growing from this. You are changing from this. But it is transient. It's not forever. This is not now your life sentence. You will grieve for the life you thought you were going to have. You will grieve for the people that you've lost. You will grieve for the part of you that has changed. But when you come out the other side of it, whether that's months, days, weeks, years, it will shift. It will be different. And you will learn from it. And the next time you are called to put a boundary in with somebody and say, don't be unkind, you might say it. You might need another 10 dark nights of the soul to get into that position. But regardless of that, you will learn it, and you will get yourself into a different space. And I'm certainly a different person to the person I was 15 years ago when all of this was happening. Not even that long. It's not that long. 12 years ago when this was all happening. But it does... It's hard. It is hard. But if we accept that it's hard, that there isn't some path that you can follow that is all ease and all goodness without having had these bumps to get you there, what do we learn? How do we respond differently to it? Because that's what's really important here, isn't it? So there we go. I managed to stay sort of on topic today. Message me, let me know what you think. Tell me about your dark nights of the soul. Tell me about what you've learned from them. I would love to share your story. If you think your story is not interesting enough, or you know, you've got all that imposter syndrome stuff going on, message it to me anyway, because it's a funny thing, isn't it? There's part of my brain that says my stories are boring and too ordinary to be shared, and then the other part of me says, but that's exactly the point. It's exactly the point. It is in the mundane and the everyday, in the unmagical, that we find the magic. Thanks very much for listening.